CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're headed to low Earth orbit. And a new space station, Perspective, a private space station, Perspective, Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black and is a pioneer in commercial space, looking at a company called VAST, V-A-S-T, and it's signing on with SpaceX. Bob, what is VAST? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. VAST is a company owned and financed by billionaire Jed McCaleb, who made his money in the crypto market, crypto money market. He's got lots of money. And he signed a deal, announced a deal this week with SpaceX, whereby the first module of his giant space station that he's proposed will be launched on a Falcon 9 rocket. And it will be launched sometime in 2025. And it will be followed shortly thereafter by two different manned missions, also using SpaceX's Dragon capsule, and those missions could last up to 30 days. This single module will be, you know, complete in terms of itself as a space station. In other words, it'll be similar to the modules on ISS as well as the modules that the Russians have launched for decades. A single module could function as a space station, a small one. The goal eventually is to add more modules to this, to turn it into a gigantic spinning space station, as conceived in the early days of the space race back in the 50s with, you know, artificial gravity. McCaleb had proposed this months and months ago, but now he's tied it with SpaceX. What's interesting about this is two things. One, if it launches as scheduled, well, there's not a lot of reason why it won't happen. If it does be delayed, it won't be significant based on what they're talking about here. They got a rocket already to launch it, and the module is not rocket science. They've done this now many times. They know how to build them. So the date is, it would put this space station up before all the other space stations that either NASA or others are planning. This plan is to move faster than everybody else. And that's the first thing that's interesting. They might beat everybody. And more important, they will also be beating all the contractors that are building space stations that are working with NASA and the government. NASA has issued contracts to teams led by Northrop Grumman, Sierra Space, and NanoRacks to build independent space stations. And it's also working with Axiom for it to add its own modules to ISS as well as fly people to ISS before that becomes its own independent space station. This plan is totally private. It's not involving government at all, and it might get up sooner, which doesn't surprise me. It also suggests that McCaleb, as well as SpaceX, want to continue to remain independent of the government as much as possible. This is considering the high fees NASA is charging to dock and stay at ISS, as well as its stringent research rules it demands of any private astronaut. In other words, if you go on a space mission as a tourist, but you're going to go to a NASA space station, NASA's going to demand you do things. You're going to have to become an intern of NASA, basically an indentured servant. And what McCaleb is doing is he's creating his own station where those rules won't apply. You can do research, and of course you will. You'll want to, but you can do what you want and at your pace and how you want to do it. You're paying the bill. And so that's what these guys are doing. And this is also very similar to what Jared Isaacman is doing with his private space stations with SpaceX. None of his are flying to ISS. He's keeping them independent. And he's developing, it seems, his own research program and engineering program, possibly leading to a repair mission of Hubble. And he's doing this entirely on his own, and so are these guys. And that's, I think, important.
Bob, remind me why the spinning space station of the Walt Disney animations of the 1960s, why don't we have a spinning space station? Is there something wrong with the theory that it would generate artificial gravity?
No, but the engineering required to build such a thing and the need to put a lot of mass into orbit for such a thing has been the obstacles behind it. For one thing, it's been very expensive to launch things, so to launch a giant spinning station it costs too much. So they go for small modules that they can assemble together, but they don't think in terms of the large spinning station for the second reason, which is it's a difficult engineering problem, and you need to know a lot more about how to operate in space before you can make such a thing work. Obviously, McCaleb thinks he's getting to a point where he can make that work now, and I'm not surprised. I suspect there'll be a lot of engineering knowledge gained as he tries to assemble his spinning station. That's for sure.
And we move to space perspective and balloons. What is space perspective?
This is a Florida company, one of about four worldwide, that wants to launch high-altitude stratospheric balloons with a capsule to take to carry passengers for tourism. You'd go up to about 20 to 25 miles. You'd see the curve of the Earth. You'd be above 90% of the atmosphere. You'd pay a fraction of what you'd pay for, like, a Virgin Galactic or a New Shepard launch on a suborbital rocket. You'd pay a fraction, but you'd get to stay up, not 5 minutes, but maybe 6 hours. And so these companies are pushing this idea. Space Perspective has a capsule it calls Neptune, which it hopes to start doing test flights later this year. The big announcement now is that they've purchased a almost 300-foot-long ship to use both as a launch and recovery vessel for their planned flights. In other words, they can use the ship to take off and to land. So this widens the places they can fly. They can, you know, move the ship off the coast of some interesting place and then take the balloon up into high altitude so you can see the land and the that interesting place nearby. And so that's their plan, and that ship will go into operation. It's called Voyager. It'll go into operation later this year in anticipation of those early test flights of the Neptune balloon capsule.
Bob, Ariana 6, delaying until 24. Are they getting ready to cancel Ariana? Is that what's happening?
I don't think so. The European Space Agency would be in a gigantic problem if they canceled Ariana 6 because they need the rocket. Here's the story. Ariana 6, the rocket, was an upgrade of Ariana 5. And the original plan was that Ariana 6 would begin launching in 2020, overlapping the retirement of Ariana 5. So you'd have an overlap and you'd never lose pace and you'd continue to fly. The problem is that Ariana 6 has been delayed now for 3+ years, and there's an announcement this week of revelation that, according to some officials who work from a German company that provides parts for Ariana 6, that it's not going to launch this year, as they are claiming. It's not going to happen until next year at the earliest. This official says he's very confident it will happen in 24, but maybe not early in the year. And right now, the European Space Agency says it'll launch at the end of this year. Well, this company's saying, no, that's not the case. So, all right, so it's going to be almost 4 years behind schedule. The last launch of Ariana 5 is scheduled for June of this year. After that, the European Space Agency will have no large rocket to launch with until Ariana 6 gets off the ground. They have another rocket, Vega C, but that on its last, it's a smaller rocket, by the way, so it can't do the big payloads, but on its last launch, it failed, and it hasn't initiated new launches since. They'll eventually get launching again, but it's also a smaller rocket. So they're not gonna cancel Ariana 6, but they're gonna have problems anyway, because it's a failed program. Even though it's privately run by Ariana Group in Europe, it wasn't designed by the private company. It was designed by the European Space Agency, and they chose not to make it reusable. So it's more expensive than other rockets on the market or coming on the market, and it's been having trouble getting customers. European companies and nations don't want to use it because they can get it cheaper alternatives. And so I don't expect Ariana 6 to actually have much success over the long run. Europe's going to have to find other alternatives, and that's one of the reasons I think many European nations and are pushing for private companies to build competitive rockets right now to replace Ariana Space and the government rocket program that they've had up to now.
I think the metaphor is white elephant. We move to UAE. UAE has had success with launching, what was it, to the moon, an orbiter to the moon or Mars, Bob?
It was an orbiter to Mars. It was called Alamal, and it's orbiting Mars right now, still functioning. So now the UAE tried to do a rover on the moon, but unfortunately the private lander that they were on from iSpace, it failed at landing. So that didn't work. But UAE has now has a asteroid mission it proposed last year, and it's now revealed its targets, where it's going to go. It's going to visit 7 main belt asteroids, and then it's going to end up rendezvousing with the largest one, 269 Justitia, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it'll, though there's no details about this, this will include then a lander that will be deployed onto that last asteroid. Now, this is a UAE mission. Does UAE have the capability of doing such a thing? Well, not really. And so they're doing the same thing here that they did with Alamal, the Mars orbiter. They have hired an American university, the University of Colorado, as well as a commercial company, American company, Advanced Space, to design, build, and operate the spacecraft as those companies and that university trains UAE people in its operation and also its construction. So this is a training program for UAE citizens being built by Americans for the UAE that pays for it. And this is the way they've been operating. This is a good thing for the UAE because they get some really great stuff going. And the actual research will be done by the UAE citizens, not by the Americans. And so this is a good thing. It won't launch till 28, and it won't be getting to these asteroids until the next decade. So we have a long way to go before it's there. But they're pushing hard, and it's a good thing.
More mysteries of NASA. NERVA, N-E-R-V-A. It's an acronym. It stands for Nuclear Engine for Rocket Vehicle Application. From the 1960s, 60 years ago, there's a photograph accompanying this historical record. In the 1960s, rocket pioneer Wernher von Braun served as NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center director and blueprinted use of nuclear thermal propulsion to send astronauts to Mars by the early 1980s. Bob, is there an explanation for why NASA put this on the shelf 60 years?
There were two reasons why the nuclear-powered probes, interplanetary probes, basically nuclear-powered engines, were rejected and defunded in the 70s. One was the paranoia that overtook the nation in the 70s about nuclear power for anything. The idea of launching a rocket into space that carried a nuclear-powered rocket engine, no matter how benign, was considered environmentally too risky. And even today, there's a lot of people who would go crazy like Chicken Little if such a thing was going to get launched. And so it got killed. It wasn't happened. So what's really interesting to me is, and I've got a poster behind the black about a recent paper that was proposed about using nuclear power to fuel and propel probes to other planets and do it much faster and be able to carry a lot more payload. Now, none of this is new. Once again, as you point out, John, in the 1960s, NASA had a very successful nuclear thermal engine that would have been able to do much more than anything chemical rockets could do, but they had to cancel it. Well, now scientists are rediscovering this with these papers. The particular paper I point to proposes a fusion-powered rocket. Well, that doesn't really exist now. The thermal-powered nuclear rocket is a very simple idea. It's kind of like a fission nuclear reactor. Basically, you use the heat of radioactivity to ionize water, and that water then is thrown out the back and produces propulsion, and it's very efficient, and it produces a much greater acceleration, and so you can, and it's more efficient, usually you can carry less fuel, and so these ideas are now coming back to the fore. And I think they're great ideas because they will get you to the planets much, much faster, like the previous UAE mission we mentioned. It won't be there for at least more than a decade. This kind of stuff can get you to places like Saturn in less than a year or two. And so I think the scientists are recognizing this technology is useful, and they're beginning to push it. And it's, the real question is going to be whether or not the paranoia against nuclear power will block it. I know there are plenty of environmental groups that will try to fight such a thing if they put it on a rocket. The question is whether the private industry in aerospace is going to become large enough to exert its own political weight to resist that opposition.
So reusability on the shelf, NERVA on the shelf. Any other on-the-shelf secrets that we can guess at NASA? It looks like they...
Well, let's talk about the X-37B, John. Yes. That's a great segue to our next post. NASA came up with the X-37B mini shuttle and then shelved it. The military picked it up and has flown the X-37B multiple times, and China decided that's a really good idea. So what? NASA shelved it, and they copied it. And we talked about this previously. They just returned on its second flight their X-37B mini shuttle. It completed a 276-day flight. Well, now data from the Space Force's defense squadron that tracks things in space has revealed that during its three-quarters of a year flight, it did rendezvous and proximity operations with a second object that it released and apparently docked with it anywhere from two to three different times. So it was doing docking and maneuvering tests with a secondary spacecraft. This is the kind of stuff you would do with this. This is the kind of stuff not NASA, but the Space Force does with Boeing's X-37B. You get it up there in space for a long time. You can do a lot of tests, and then you can bring it back to Earth and look at what happened to it while it was in space. Very, very, very powerful test vehicle. Of course, there's a lot of things you could do with a shuttle like this. That's why Sierra Space is building a Dream Tracer capsule for a mini shuttle for bringing cargo to and from ISS. Same idea. The Chinese, though, they copied us, and now they're doing other stuff. And this is interesting. The docking and rendezvous techniques they did can be used for a lot of different things.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going space exploring. I'm John Mash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.